Hello and welcome to Ode to Games. I'm Kevin Valline, joined alongside Logan Plant. How you doing, Logan?
Doing well, Kevin. I'd like to tell you about a dream I had.
Okay. But first, Zach Ross is also here. How you doing, Zach?
Hi, I'm good. I'd also like to hear about this dream.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah, so this was a few days ago. It was earlier this week, and I had a dream that we were at Kevin's apartment. It was not an apartment he's ever actually lived in, but me and Zach were over there hanging out. And I'm chilling on the couch, and I look down, and I see a PS4 box for Sonic Forces 2 Maximum Overdrive, which is not a real game. It does not exist. And then I look up at the TV, and I see Kevin playing this frickin' awesome looking...
Did I not tell anybody?
No, you were just sitting there playing it!
I was just playing it.
Yeah, you were playing this awesome... game that was a 3D Sonic level. It was a boost level. Like,
okay.
The Unleashed Generations, Colors, Forces, that era. And it looked gorgeous, and it looked super fun. And you were at this part where there were, like, three paths you could have gone off on. I think there's three paths total in all of the first Sonic Forces. But it was varied. It looked, like, really replayable and really fast and fun, and the music was awesome. And I'm like, Kevin, what the heck are you doing? And he's like, oh, yeah, this just came in. I had to pay $15 extra for shipping, which is the first thing you would say if you had just gotten a new game. So that was accurate. And I was like, why are you playing this without Sonic Club? And he's like, I don't know, man. Just showed up on my porch. And I was like, and I didn't even know this game existed. But Sonic Forces 2 Maximum Overdrive. And I woke up and I'm like, I feel like Maximum Overdrive is a title of something. And I couldn't think of what. I convinced myself it was just Sunset Overdrive. But then Kevin, before we started the show, you told me what it might be.
Yeah, the Team Sonic Racing OST is named Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, really weird.
It's a weird pull.
I haven't been listening to that lately. I didn't know it was called that, but had forgotten. But that was my dream. Sonic Forces 2 Maximum Overdrive on PlayStation 4. Announcement incoming August 20th. To keep up the 20th traditions for Sonic news, look forward to that. We're just a couple weeks out.
So does that mean that it's also a crossover with Team Sonic Racing? Is there some, like, racing levels in there?
Dude, I don't know. I do not know.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Well, I'd like to tell you that I would have told you guys if I got that game before I played it. You know, that's I do that for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
If I was apparently the only one that knew about this game.
How in the world did
also,
I not know about it?
I don't know. I bought the game, paid for the shipping, and it showed up. During that entire time, I didn't tell anybody.
Yep.
This is my secret.
The sequel to one of the most legendary games of all time.
So now if that does happen, I've got to do that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Somehow keep you guys from knowing about it.
Good luck.
So before we get into state of play talk, Pikmin coming back first. Let's talk about the big game that came out this week, also available on PS Plus. That's Fall Guys. I know all of us have been playing it. Some of it together, not all three of us in pairs. We've been playing it together as well as separately. And what have you guys thought? I've had a lot of fun with it. Some weird, you know, connection issues and some random glitches notwithstanding. I've had a bunch of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also had a bunch of fun with it. I think some of the ragdoll physics is a bit iffy at times, but other than that,
yeah.
I think it's a real good time.
Man, the seesaw level is... One, that level is brutal, and you get destroyed if you're like just a little bit late, because then that like second seesaw just goes 90 degrees. But mm-hmm. Man, I feel like every time on that level, when I jump down to the next one, he just falls over and I slide off and die.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be the next step to getting, like, really good at this game is figuring out how to kind of position the stick to make it less likely that your guy falls over. Because I've kind of figured out there are a couple ways, like, if you direct the stick to try to get him to land on his feet, but a lot of the times he'll still topple. And I think that's just one of the elements of randomness in the game.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. There's a good variety of different mini games to play, as well as some team mini games, which I think is... Along with, you know, instability in terms of connection, the team games would probably be the other thing that has gotten the most flack. There's a bunch of different team minigames that come up throughout the game. What have you guys thought about that?
I like the team games. Like, yeah, I get that it makes it less likely for you to win or whatever because you're kind of putting yourself in the hands of your teammates. But Fall Guys is not this finely tuned competitive experience. It's supposed to be silly and wacky and fun. And I think without the team games, the variety would really not be there because you'd have the racing and then kind of the survival ones. And that's about it. So I think the team ones are really necessary to give the variety to the game selection.
Yeah, and I like how it cuts off half of the remaining players or one third of the remaining players. I think it's a good way to divide to get closer to the end level. And I also like that it includes your party on your team no matter the case. Because when we originally started out, we were like, oh my God, are we going to be on the same team? What if we have to go against each other? But if you are in a party together, they do put you on the same team, which is very good mechanic. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. You don't have to do Splatoon where we're just like, oh, no. You know, let's cross our fingers that we're on the same team.
Yeah, and it's weird.
One way that they could slightly improve that is when you die, if you're like in a party, it doesn't automatically spectate to your other friend. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to automatically spectate, even if you're in a party with more than one person, to automatically spectate at least one of your friends rather than just a rando.
Yeah, or really if someone hopped into a game, and then you join it, like you're able to spectate them even though you weren't playing in that game. I think being able to spectate your friends when you're out of the game is also a good option.
Yeah.
Like hop into the party and like while you're waiting for them to be done, just be able to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's because I am the multiplayer online game I've probably spent the most time with easily over the last 5 years has been Splatoon, but I feel like the expectation for online games should be you're in a party with your friends, but I assumed we wouldn't be just because of Splatoon, and that might be a silly assumption, but yeah, it's awesome that we are on the same team, and I also like that in the team games, it's not always, but I feel like over half the time, it's the last game before the finale. And it's fun to like, you win as a team. Yeah, we're moving on. And then you're immediately pitted against those same people right after. That's just really fun to me.
And it leads to some really tense moments, man. We had one with, the balls where you've got like the three different sections and you have to have the most balls in your corner as possible. And man, that went down to the wire where like on the last second, someone pushed that ball over and sent it into the overtime. And having the overtime mechanic for the team games makes it even more hectic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked that. And then, yeah, I had one of those with you and with Zach, and both times we went from last place at the last second to winners of the game. And it's in the team games, it's almost like you're never really out of it. The soccer one can get away from you if there are a bunch of goals up, but I feel like for the most part, there's always a chance to come back. Like Hoopsie Daisy, they drop in the gold rings that are worth three that allow for major comebacks. The zombie one, it's called Jinxed, I think. The other team, this was the first team game we played, and it was with me and Zach the morning it came out. And the other team was down to one dude who was not Jinxed, and we had eight left and watched as that number just tick down and down, and we were out. So I feel like you can always make a comeback, which is really fun, too. And I really like the length of these minigames also. I don't feel like they drag on. Kevin and I famously debate about Lights, Camera, Pants, and he always says the minigames go on way too long. But I feel like all the Fall Guys minigames are just the right length, and also the number of them you do from start to finish of a round of 60 down to one, it ranges from 3 to 5 depending on how many people get knocked out in the elimination rounds. I feel like it's a solid amount of chunk, a solid chunk of time for one complete round from start to finish, like 10 to 15 minutes. I feel like it's really easy to just sit down and play one of those.
Yeah, it's not too overbearing to hop in and be like, oh, I have something to do in a half hour. I don't know if I'll have enough time. It's really easy to go through. And even if you make it to the last round, it doesn't eat up too much of your time. And that pushes you to hop right back in. And in my experience, the game has been really quick about hopping me right back in. Like the waiting has been almost nothing from when I leave the last game to going back to the menu, saying I'm ready to go, hop back in. It finds the players and it goes in 20 something seconds. Like I'm already back in playing again.
When the servers
the player base for this game.
When the servers are working.
Well, absolutely.
Honest, I really haven't had too many server problems. The only problems I've had is where I've had the game basically soft lock on the result screen when I've lost.
Yeah.
And like I'll hit to back out and leave that area. And it just soft locks the game. All of the characters are like moving on the board, but no one gets kicked off. I can't do anything. That's happened twice. But that's really been the only major problem I've had.
Logan and I have been kicked from games.
Yeah.
Multiple occasions.
Have
yeah.
I had that.
And then Zach and I tried to play last night, and we got kicked. The servers were down for maintenance. And then we played some Monster Hunter and said we'd try again in the morning. In the morning, tried, and the servers were still down, and like 20 minutes later, we got in for a few before I think they went down again. But yeah, it's been kind of a rough launch for them. I mean, even with PS Plus, I don't think they expected this many people to be playing the game, and they just weren't ready for the over million people who have been trying to jump into this thing. And it's very yeah. understandable. Like, I don't like all the hate that the people are getting on the internet for these servers having issues. That's any multiplayer game, and this is an indie game, very small team that made this, so they'll get it ironed out.
Yeah. As of when we're recording, the servers have been down again. It sounds like they're taking it down for a more substantial period of time to try and do some larger fixes so they won't have to go in and keep on doing incremental fixes just to keep it up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even I felt like before the announcement came that PS Plus, it was going to be on PS Plus for this month, there really wasn't a ton of hype surrounding the launch before that happened. So it would make sense that they weren't really prepared for this big influx of players. Yeah. The announcement for PS Plus was pretty soon before it came out.
Yeah, I've been hyped for it for a year, but I feel like I hadn't heard anyone else talk about it in that year until I heard it was coming out this month. It was like, sweet. But yeah.
Yeah, so not surprising that they didn't expect this many people. So hopefully mm-hmm. over the next week or so, it gets cleaned up and becomes a lot more stable for everyone to play.
Yeah.
So they're running it based on like a season format. Mm-hmm. The seasons go for about 2 months. What sorts of things do you want to see, both any updates during the current season and what you want to see moving forward into a season two, season three, as they move on through these?
I really like the selection of games. There's 24 games, but I do wish there was more than one stage per game. So every time you do a game, it's the exact same layout. The stage looks exactly the same. Nothing has changed. And it's yeah. been fine for the first few days, but after 2 months, I'll definitely be ready for something new. So if they added, like, if Whirligig is in season two, it'd be nice if there were two or three variations of it. Or if they add new games, make two or three stages for those. I think that would do a lot to spice up the variety of the game.
Yeah, that would be... That would be a good idea for kind of like an in-season thing where mm-hmm. they add in new maps, I guess, new maps for existing game types. And then when the new season comes around, that's when they introduce a bunch of new games. And then maybe halfway through that season, they introduce some more new maps for those games just mm-hmm. to keep everything fresh over a pretty short length of time, yeah. maybe in that the start of that second month.
Yeah. Zach,
anything
ideas?
You want to see?
Well, from what it seems to me, that these seasons are mainly based around gaining cosmetics. There's 40 levels per season, and each level you either gain stuff to unlock cosmetics or gain the cosmetics themselves. So they'll have to keep updating this whole cosmetic trend. And I definitely want to see those new level additions. But as long as they iron out all this server stuff and, you know, maybe tweak some of the gameplay a little bit, I think it's on a great track right now. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the levels, the 40 levels throughout the season, I really appreciate that they don't exponentially increase the amount of experience yeah. you need to get to the next level. I'm pretty sure it's the exact same number each time. You hit
I thought it was bigger closer to the end from pictures I've seen of people up there.
Maybe, but it's negligible from where I'm at, around like 9
currently,
or 10.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, you get to like 1,000 experience and it was like 100, like 200 or 300 to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then the next one's like, 1,300. It's not an exponential increase. Mm-hmm. So it just makes it longer and longer and longer to get to the next level, which means that even if you're not particularly good at the game and dying relatively early, you're still making progress at a pretty steady pace and unlocking those cosmetics. And it makes it a lot more possible to be able to attain that level 40 before the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I'm level 19 already. You get more bonuses if you win rounds or win the entire game show. But yeah, I think the leveling has been fine. I mean, it's only been out for less than a week, and I'm already almost halfway there, and I haven't been playing religiously. So it seems really attainable to get to level 40 in every season, even if you aren't winning rounds left and right. So yeah, I really like the progression. The Battle Royale genre as a whole has always really interested me. I know I've said on the show, I like the Hunger Games Minecraft. I played that all the time back in the day. But it's just that the Battle Royale genre has been really limited to just shooters like Fortnite and Apex and PUBG, and that doesn't interest me at all. So having a platformer, which when we did our Ode to Genres is my favorite genre, and being able to compete against 59 other people at once, it's awesome. I'm super in love with it. I have 5 wins, which I'm pretty proud of already at this point. I've won once on the tail tag, once on the hexagon, and then the other 3 were all on the race to the top of Fall Mountain. I also had a ton of devastating second place finishes on tail tag, where my, or I don't remember exactly what that one's called, but the tail one with the final round where there's only one tail. 4 times, 3 times with Zach and 1 time with Kevin, my tail was taken with less than 2 seconds left, and it was just devastating. And it was 3 times in a row with Zach. It was back to back to back where I grinded to the final area and then only to lose with less than 2 seconds remaining in the round. But yeah, it's been super fun. I really like all the games. My favorites are definitely the racers. I think the racing rounds are the most fun. The spinning one, the whirligig. What's that other one called? It's like the generic one. I can't remember the name of it. With all the obstacles. I don't remember what that one's called at all. Hit Parade?
I forget the names of these. I
think that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it's called Hit Parade. But I really like that one. But super in love with it, which I'm excited about because I've been looking forward to this since June of last year. And yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing this regularly. And even if I put it down whenever there's a new season, I definitely see myself picking it back up for that new content.
I have one other thing I want to talk about. It's about the grab mechanic. So a lot of the game has that kind of derpiness thing. You know, the ragdoll physics and how sometimes when you hit the ground, he just falls over and it's funny and you die. But there's something about the grab mechanic that actually annoys me a little bit. Because I feel like it's way too imprecise for its own good. In the tail grab games where you're trying to grab onto these tails, mm-hmm. you feel like you're right on top of this other guy that has it. And you hit the grab button, and I swear the game takes like 2 seconds and then is like, oh, you want to grab your teammate over here? And then you grab them. There's something about the grab that I think needs to be cleaned up a little bit. Because derpiness is fine, but something about the grab... It just gets really
fun. Those are the sometimes. That's the worst category of games by far, in my opinion. I don't like almost any of the tail ones.
Yeah.
So I hope that's something that they actually would like to fix and is not a feature, that they make it a little bit more responsive. Because I could see those being a lot of fun if it was a little bit more smooth to be able to grab the things instead of just running around mashing the grab button and just grabbing your teammates when you swear you were right on top of the person that had the tail or whatever.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, when a couple times in that last round when my tail was stolen at the last second, it just poofs off my guy out of nowhere because no one's in range of me to physically grab me. So it's like, yeah, on their screen they were, but on mine they weren't. So I just feel a little like that was a little cheap to me because I couldn't even see that they were there on my screen to avoid them.
Yeah. If there is one game type that I think needs some work beyond the seesaws, because I feel like that one just screws people who aren't like right. It's particularly unbalanced, but the tail grab games definitely need some work, just the grab mechanics. But overall, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm glad it was free on PS Plus.
I know.
For me to play and for there also to be a vibrant community so that I'm playing with basically a max group of 60 people almost every time.
Mm-hmm. I threw in $5. I bought the $5 set of costumes just because I wanted to support the game because I expected to buy it all this time and I'm just super into it. So gave them a little bit of money.
I didn't even realize they had a costume pack.
Yeah.
They've got 2 packs. One of them's $5. One of them's $10.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Well, the $10 one also comes with a bunch of currency.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can dress as a hamburger, a Slurpee, and French fries.
French fry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
All right, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing this over the next couple of weeks and playing it with all 3 of us because we haven't done that yet. Mm-hmm. We've just been doing it.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward
hopefully when
to
we're done recording.
I think you can have parties. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we can have parties up to 4, so we got to find a 4th person.
No, we don't. No, we're good.
I don't know. All right, fair enough.
Sonic.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
On his day off from working on Maximum Overdrive.
He's busy.
Oh, we'll bring him in and play.
Yeah.
But now, why don't we hop into the news? We got a State of Play to talk about, right, Logan?
We do. Oh my God. Yeah, so this State of Play was announced over the last week, and they set expectations. I think that's a big topic around this, that it wasn't going to be about Sony first-party games on PS5. It was primarily going to be about PS4 and PSVR. There was actually a little bit more PS5 stuff than I expected in this State of Play.
Yeah, I was going in thinking there was going to be none.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
And we saw a couple things, like Godfall was in there, Bugsnax was in there. So yeah, there were a few things for PS5, but yeah, let's get into it. Some of the highlights, Crash 4 was kind of the big thing they started out with talking about. Zach, yeah. I know you're excited about this, so what about the Crash stuff you saw got you excited?
Honestly, it just seems like they're keeping it traditional. It's super vibrant, super fun. I love the way it looks. It looks like it plays just like any traditional Crash. So I'm just always looking forward to more of those traditional PlayStation platformers that they just bring you back to the better times.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, you gonna play that one?
I don't know if I. It's $60 for a Crash.
I know.
Game. So that
it's hard to pull the trigger on that.
I don't know, but I was really impressed with the amount of extra content that they're trying to add. First, they have a bunch of different playable characters. Now, that can be a good or a bad thing depending on how these go. Some platformers can do it well, and some of them,
Spyro,
you know, Spyro, Sonic Adventure, where like some of the characters are fun and some are garbage. So it remains to be seen how well the Cortex levels go, and what Dingo Dial was the other character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How well those go, but if they're fun, that is a great way to change up the gameplay as you're going throughout these levels. And then just those extra challenges that they were showing off near the end, which are way more interesting than just simple time trials. You have the levels
called
that
the
completely
inverted?
Changed the inverted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Change the art style. Sometimes they change both the art style and the speed of the level that you're going through. There's one where you're hitting boxes to spray paint so that you can see the level in front of you. I really like the variety there, and think it's way more interesting than just adding in some sort of time trial gem.
I agree.
The extra content that they're adding there looks really cool. And then just the other things that they're adding with the new masks and being able to change up how you're doing platforming, whether that be speeding or slowing down things or changing the center of gravity. We don't know yet if that's really level-based, like specific levels are completely tailored to those power-ups, or if you're given more leeway to kind of break the levels with those certain masks. But I think it looks like there's a bunch of different variety in here. And
I would
it
hope
looks
so.
Really vibrant. I like the new art style, too. I think it looks really
good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it looks great. I was really happy with everything I saw from Crash. I have not played Crash outside of Uncharted 4. But I thought this game looked really fantastic. And this isn't a problem with the game at all. It's more I have a problem with this State of Play in general. And that is I feel like it lacked a big punch. It was over 40 minutes. It's like the longest one they've done. And almost everything we already kind of knew about, and they didn't have that huge open or that huge close. So I almost wish this was Crash 4's coming out party. I almost wish we didn't know about the game until then. I know it's out in less than 2 months, but I mean, we're seeing more and more games get announced and coming out sooner and sooner from the reveal dates. So I was like, man, this could have been an awesome reveal for this State of Play that kind of could have justified its existence versus an almost bloated 40-minute presentation in a time where we still don't know the PS5 price or release date, and instead they're coming out and showing all this other stuff. So I just thought the State of Play as a whole was kind of weird because of that huge elephant in the room, and it didn't have that huge gut punch announcement, and I feel like I walked away from this presentation, watching some of it and reading everything about it, feeling like, well, we're back to square one, not knowing anything about the one thing everyone wants to know about coming out later this year.
Yeah, so we already knew that we weren't going to get much on the PS5, so they set the expectations relatively well, but it is still really frustrating that we're coming up on the end of summer and starting to roll into fall, and this thing's supposed to come out by the end of the year, and we still don't know when the thing's coming out or what the price tag is going to be. So just in general, that's frustrating, but in terms of how they marketed and released the State of Play, it wasn't much of a disappointment for me purely because that's what I went in expecting. And when you're talking about a state of play that isn't focused on first-party games, knowing that we've basically seen everything that Sony's going to be throwing out for the PS4 now that the PS5 is on its way, I also wasn't expecting an earth-shattering announcement like that, because usually that's a first-party title. Yeah. Usually, especially when it comes to Sony. When with Microsoft, they kind of have to take some of those third-party announcements and make it the big one. But with Sony, that's usually the big one that they're showing off is something from their studios. So for my expectations, I wasn't really disappointed by it just because I didn't have the highest of expectations anyways.
I'd say prior to the last calendar year, Nintendo also nailed the Direct format in always starting huge and always ending huge. It's been a weird year for directs for a lot of reasons, but prior to that, I think that's what we've kind of been conditioned to expect. And usually it's like ending with a Smash character or something big like that. And so I feel like that's just kind of the framework for this presentation, and this just didn't have that. And even though I wasn't expecting it, that just combined with the lack of, both within and outside of this state of play, concrete PS5 news was just a little tough. And Zach, I know you were saying nothing super caught your eye in this state of play also. What was your kind of overall reaction to the announcements or the event as a whole?
You know, overall, being a Sony fanboy, I was expecting a lot. But once they announced that there wasn't going to be any PlayStation 5 stuff, I was trying to rack my brain at what they could possibly be showing, what's left coming out for the PS4 before the PS5 supposedly comes out at the end of the year. You would assume. But, I like to see the Crash. I liked all the PS5 stuff we did get. Godfall does intrigue me somewhat. The PSVR stuff, there was a decent amount. Overall, not terrible. It was kind of long, and like you said, they didn't have any heavy hitters, so it was a bit dry throughout the whole thing. I don't think that they felt like they had to do amazing, because the last Nintendo Direct Mini and the Xbox Showcase were both fairly not great, yeah. But it just sucks that no one's throwing out any heavy hits. I think so far the Xbox Showcase was the heaviest.
Well, the PS5 Showcase like a couple Fable. Months ago was pretty big. But that was back in June already, I think? Yeah, that was in
a
June.
While, yeah.
That was 2 months ago that they finally pulled back the curtain on the PS5. So it has been a while, but yeah, we do already know about a ton of big PS5 ones like Spider-Man and like Horizon and things like that. So we know stuff they have coming, but this presentation, I just almost feel like it would have been better if it was a series of tweets or a series of blog posts like they did a while ago for like 10 exciting indies coming to PlayStation. Like, hyping up this big state of play, even with those set expectations, I'm like, I feel like just when, if you're going to put out a 45-minute presentation, you have to have a solid big reason to do so. And Nintendo, they announced their big game, their big port, this week on Twitter. They announced Paper Mario on Twitter. And like, I think Twitter announcements are becoming more standard and acceptable. And so that's, I just think, why I feel a little off about this thing as a whole. There's still some good stuff in here, but I just feel a little off about it. And it's mid-August, and we still don't know a date or a price for this thing. And that's just
ridiculous.
Crazy. I know it's been a crazy, unprecedented year, but is it even going to come out this year? Or are we going to get some nasty news about a delay?
That's kind of the question at this point. If they're waiting this long, you can only announce a release date and price so soon before a whole console comes out.
Mm-hmm. It comes out next week.
If you're launching a game and you're like, here it is. Mm-hmm. But with a console, you got to give, retailers time to get this all ready to go. And you have to have consumers have to make that decision of if they want to buy it or not, knowing the price tag, knowing the release date. They're starting to run out of time.
But just like the state of play copies Nintendo, maybe they're copying Nintendo with this too. It was less than 60 days between the Switch's official reveal and date and price and its release. And it worked. It worked just fine. So it's possible that both, and I'm sure it's true. Also the other guys not wanting to know the price. Like, we've seen that Xbox is willing to undercut PS5 no matter what they come out at. So I think that PS5 really wants Xbox to reveal a price first.
They just wait forever and nothing ever comes out.
Yeah.
They're just playing chicken forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So let's get back to some of these state of play announcements, though. Hitman 3, it was revealed that Hitman 3 is going to be completely playable in PSVR. And what, 1 and 2 are also getting VR support, I believe, right?
I think that's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so Hitman games, Zach and I tried one. Did not get that into it, but this is...
I forgot we tried that.
Yeah, we were terrible at it, but this is a pretty cool series, and it looks like sneaking around in Hitman would be pretty fun in VR, so thought that was a pretty cool announcement. This one I'm really excited about, Braid Anniversary Edition. This is a platformer that was on Xbox Arcade on the 360 that I just never got, and then by the time that I really heard about it and wanted to play it, my 360 was long unplugged, and I just never got around to plugging it back in, buying it, and playing it. So Anniversary Edition's coming out to PS4 in early 2021. Looked really cool, 2D platformer where you like mess with time and things like that. A pretty highly acclaimed game, so this, I think, was my highlight for the presentation.
Yeah, just looks like a much crisper version, and it also looks like they're adding some more visual flair to the levels, adding in more detail.
Yeah.
Looks nice.
So that's my highlight, Zach. It sounds like your highlight was Crash. Kevin, did you have a specific highlight that you wanted to shout out?
Bugsnax. That was already one that I was kind of interested in, but specifically the feature of being able to build the village back up and bring people back is something that I always like, being able to build some sort of town or something. Mm-hmm. So that feature in general made me super excited. And then just as I watch more of that, I know Bugsnax, when on Twitter a while back, they tweeted out some of their inspirations for the game, and Viva Pinata was one of them. And in terms of like catching the different bugs and like going out and trying to find them, I definitely get some Viva Pinata vibes from just these really weird versions of animals, you know. And then the last little bit at the end kind of looked like a horror section where it's like all dark and you like fall off this bridge into this open area. So I wonder how that all is going to work. But specifically, the town raising, town building aspect is something that I'm always for in games, and Bugsnax has it, and I'm excited.
Yeah, in fact, that game looked really cool, too. It was nice to get some stuff about that that wasn't just the song that everyone couldn't stop talking about. Seeing some real stuff.
Like that game was cool.
Now, I expected to hear about Star Wars Squadrons. Kevin and I were going over some games, third-party games still yet to appear on PS4 we thought were going to be in this thing. I thought that was for sure going to be there. But instead, the Star Wars thing we got was Vader Immortal. The Star Wars VR series got a release date for PSVR August 25th. It was originally just on Oculus VR as an exclusive, and I really wanted to play it because you fight Darth Vader in first person in a VR lightsaber fight. Looks really cool, and now it's coming out. All the episodes are launching on August 25th, so I was excited for that one. And then Spelunky 2 I thought was a cool announcement because that's coming out in less than a month and a half, September 15th, and it's coming out on PS4. And that game just has a huge fan base. That one's a pretty big deal, I think.
Yeah. I remember people playing it back in high school, back on like PCs and things.
I have it on my Vita.
So, shout out to the Vita.
Shout out. Yeah, no Vita games announced.
Man, where are those?
I don't know.
The Vita state of play.
I don't know. Oh, man, Zach never got to play Golden Abyss before we moved away.
Dang. No, I did not, and I never will.
You know, you're not missing a ton.
There'll be an emulator for it at some point, probably.
Let's get it ported to Switch. Come on.
That'd be crazy and really weird. That game would look so gross blown up on a TV. That would not look good.
It could follow Persona 4 Golden off the system.
Yep.
And just end up on Steam.
Yep.
Yeah, let's go.
As a Sony IP.
Yeah.
Uncharted on Steam.
Be wild.
Let's see it. I mean, we're seeing Horizon is on PC, so who knows? Can see Uncharted. But we got a couple more PlayStation stories that I want to get to. That's the state of play, our reactions to it. Negative story I want to bring up real quick. I'm sure you guys probably saw this going around this week. Sony got a lot of negative press for the DualSense or the DualShock 4 not being compatible with PS5 only games when the system launches later this year. DualShock 4 controllers will be compatible with PS4 games on PS5.
That's good.
Well, I would hope, yeah.
I don't know. This isn't a big deal to me. The internet was kind of set ablaze by this. I don't care.
Why would people expect the PS4 controller to work on the PS5? When has that ever really been a thing?
Well, Xbox is doing it right now.
For Sony. Yeah, well, for Sony.
I feel like it depends on how compelling the extra features are for these games. Obviously, the decision has already been made, so it doesn't matter what I think. But like in talking about the PS4 controller's new features, we've talked about it before that back when those new games were coming out to try and take advantage of the features, the touchpad and the motion controls, it felt super gimmicky. I would much rather play a game with a PS4 controller than a PS3 controller, but you know, it also felt like the features that it introduced really weren't that compelling and weren't super necessary. So it may feel a little bit weird if you use these new features and they don't really add anything. But if the new features of the controller are necessary for these new games and I feel like they're a worthy addition that increases immersion or something, then I'm totally fine with it.
I'm totally fine with it even if there's no new features. I never in my life have gotten a new console and expected to plug in my old controller and play it. It's a thing that Xbox is doing, so I think people thought that PlayStation was going to do it, but Xbox is trying a whole new thing with... Their next-gen games are going to be playable on Xbox One, not PS4. PS4 and PS5 is making a standard generational leap from one to the next. No one cared you couldn't use your DualShock 3 on the PS4. No one cared that you couldn't use your Wii U Pro Controller on the Switch, because no one had them. But it was just not a GameCube. There were GameCube ports on the Wii, but I did not care if I couldn't use a GameCube controller in a Wii game. There were some you could, like Mario Kart, but I didn't expect it to be a standard feature in all my games. And I think that one of the most exciting parts of a new console is the controller. I mean, companies usually reveal the controller before the box. It's like, especially at launch when next-gen games don't look quite next-gen yet, like it takes a couple years for them to look like, man, old hardware couldn't do this. The controller is one of the main things you have that differentiates it, and you're like, I'm playing on a new console. So, and also people are like, oh, I have to buy another controller to play my PS5 games. The system comes with one, and people online were acting like it doesn't. You're getting a DualSense with your PS5. So yeah, if you want to play a multiplayer game, you'll have to get another one, but that's how consoles have worked forever and ever. So I just didn't understand all the rage from the internet about this announcement. Like, maybe a little bit of disappointment, yeah, but just the hate and stuff I was seeing about this, I'm like, yeah, I didn't really expect to be able to use my PS4 controller on everything. So I was just a little confused by all of it online this week.
They haven't released a price for it yet, have they?
No.
A standalone DualSense?
No.
God, that... How much you want to bet that thing's like 80.
Yeah.
Because they know they can get away with it and people have to buy it. That is the one thing that is really frustrating with controllers in general right now, is the cost of them is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're talking PlayStation 4 controller, Xbox controller, or Switch controllers, they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, that I definitely agree with. But there's always going to be cheaper third-party options also that you can play with on PS5.
God.
Yeah, Mad Cats, DualSense.
I don't
want
to that level.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where you're just playing and you can hear the cheap plastic creaking.
Oh, God.
And you'd be like, I could crush this with my hands. It's like a PS3 controller.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I was just really confused by that because I know Xbox is doing it, but PlayStation doesn't have Game Pass. You can't play your PS5 games on PS4. It's like they're not really comparable what these two are doing moving on. So I don't care. I'm excited for the DualSense.
As long as the PS4 controller is compatible with PS4 games that you're playing, we're good.
Perfect.
That's good enough for me. At least there's support for the older games.
But are you going to use it?
Possibly, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. If I need another controller for something, multiplayer.
Yeah, single player controller. If you're playing single player, are you going to ever use your DualShock 4 on your PS5?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Depends on how good the controller feels.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think I will. I'm multiplayer, but, I mean, PlayStation consoles in general are definitely more single-player or online multiplayer consoles, so.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know, I just don't see myself ever doing that. And if it was supported, even if I had to charge my DualSense, I'd be more likely to sit closer to the system with it plugged in, or in my setup I have it so I can plug it in and still be in my chair, than charge it and use my DualShock 4. Like, I just don't see that happening, so. And with all these new, like, the new rumbles and all this stuff they are adding to this, I'm excited for the new controller, and I'm excited to leave the old ones behind with the next generation. That's my take on it. But from a money standpoint, I do get it, because controllers are freaking expensive. But
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's probably only going to get worse, which sucks.
Yeah, like the Xbox Elite controllers, my God.
$150?
Yeah.
Or 200 or something? God, yeah. Ridiculous.
So that almost makes
Thank
more
God
sense.
Those
that those
carry over and work.
Yeah, because those are
if those got left behind, Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure.
Makes sense for Xbox on that front.
Mm-hmm. All right, but let's move on. Another kind of negative story surrounding the PlayStation this week. Spider-Man in Marvel's Avengers is only going to be playable on the PS4 version, and the disappointment behind this, I do understand. So Spider-Man is consistently the voted the most popular superhero in America and in most of the world. And now he is being limited to only the PlayStation 4 version of Marvel's Avengers, along with some other exclusive content. And this really rubs me the wrong way for a number of reasons we can get into. But first, I want to get your guys' take on an exclusive character that's this big to only one version of the game.
Honestly, console exclusive have never bothered me. Maybe it's just because of the fact that PlayStation always gets the good console exclusive, so I'm always on the good side of things. Spider-Man sticking with, you know, Sony, I mean, not a big surprise there. It does suck for a lot of people who aren't playing it on PlayStation. It's been a while since there's been, like, a solid console exclusive part of a game as opposed to just the game as a whole. So I don't know why they chose to do that. But
money,
I think money. Sure. Absolutely.
Because why would any, if you have both consoles, why would you ever buy it on Xbox now?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it does also rub me the wrong way. Kind of just seems like something that's kind of outdated, a kind of thing to do. But it is the way it is. I'm not going to complain about it because I will be playing it on PlayStation, so
I won't
that,
be playing but... it. I'm not playing this game.
Oh, you're not playing Avengers?
I don't think so. No, I've seen really? Nothing but bad things about the beta. I've seen nothing but bad things. But Kevin,
oh, really? I haven't actually seen anything.
Yeah, people don't like it. They say it has a ton of work to do, and I don't know, it just seems way too grindy for me and not that interesting. But I want to get Kevin's take on Spider-Man real quick.
I kind of expect this sort of thing from Sony. I see Xbox doing a lot of great things with being able to lend out their IPs for things, you know, a lot with Nintendo and allowing them to use Banjo and all this stuff. And they're really consumer friendly with a lot of their moves with the backwards compatibility. I mean, we talked about the controllers before, but being able to bring those over, they're doing a really good job of making things great for the consumer. And I feel like Sony gets to a point where they've gotten so far ahead that they just don't care about any of that anymore. They're just like, hey, you're going to buy it because you have a PlayStation and we tell you to, or whatever. Mm-hmm. They get into that headspace. And that's happened before. That happened when they just blew everyone out of the water with the PS2. And then the PS3 came around, like, $600, everybody. Have fun. And they just get into this mode. I understand where they're coming from. Sony has the rights to Spider-Man, and it's within their power to do this, but it just sucks, especially when you see other companies doing things that are way more consumer-friendly, allowing their IPs to be used in certain ways with other platforms, and Sony just doesn't seem willing to do it. But I almost expect it at this point based on their MO with these types of things.
So I do want to say, I actually tried to do a little bit of research. It's really confusing with all this legality stuff, but it actually looks like they did have to strike up a new deal to have him exclusive in Avengers. It's not like they were just allowed to do it because they have the film rights to him with that they had for a long time, or that they have Insomniac Spider-Man. There was additional stuff that needed to be done, but they do have that brand recognition of PlayStation and Spider-Man. This is the place to play as Spider-Man, both his solo games and in this crossover game. So thank God, by the way, he's in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, and they didn't try and pull some BS.
Oh, that's stupid.
But yeah, it's just gross to me. I understand console exclusive games, because that just makes sense from a business standpoint. But this is just gatekeeping millions of players on PC and Xbox and Stadia who are going to be playing Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, the 10 people on Stadia.
That just can't play as Spider-Man, who's the most popular character. I think that's really what gets me. It's not some, like, third-tier Marvel character no one cares about that's like, hey, if you really
just
care
little, like,
about this
Easter
person,
egg character or something.
It's Hawkeye. Spider-Man! It's freaking Spider-Man! I have a Spider-Man poster on my wall right there. He's the biggest superhero in the world, and you can only play as him on one console. And that's just really lame, man. That's just not fun. Yeah, it's just disappointing. Because no one's going to...
Come on, Sony.
Yeah, no one's going to buy a console because you can only play as Spider-Man there. You buy a console because the games that are there, but you would not buy a console because Spider-Man's only in this game. So it just feels like a lame, cheap, selfish move to say, okay, Well, if you already are one of the 100 million PlayStation owners, you can get it here. Sorry, everyone else. We're at the end of a console generation, so it's not like you can jump ship. It's just lame.
So Xbox needs to get a specific character in there. Put, like, they Banjo as a DLC character or Master Chief in there. Mm-hmm. Like, stick it to him. Just be like, hey, you can play as Spider-Man. We can play as Master Chief as an Avenger in this game.
That's a lot cooler, if you ask me.
Well, like a Soul Calibur or whatever, where all three of the consoles have their own separate character.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good pull.
Just a Google logo or something, I don't know, that runs around. I don't know what they get.
A really violent Google logo.
But
Yeah,
it's frustrating.
And then another total wrinkle of this is, imagine the overarching plot of Marvel's Avengers. Spider-Man will not be a part of it because he's only on one console. So he's not going to be written into the main story of this thing because 3/4 of the platforms this thing is coming to can't play as Spider-Man. So I haven't played the beta. I don't really know how this is set up, but it looks like Spider-Man will just be there. Or there might be like an exclusive story content on PlayStation, but for the overall story, he's not there. He's not a part of it. He can't be.
That's fine to me. When I think of Avengers, I think of like the main five. I think that that's who they should focus on. And if they have Spider-Man in the background, that's fine. But he had his own time to shine. I'd like to focus on some other characters.
But if going forward, if this becomes a series and this is just Spider-Man on there, there's no opportunity moving forward to have him be there. Or if they do, that would stir up even more if there's like a big story moment that is just not.
Yeah, so there's 8 hours of cutscenes that Xbox players don't get.
But also, if
Spider-Man focused.
If you have to put him in the cutscenes and he's just standing there, like, oh, Spider-Man's off. Like, he's getting like a burger right now. Like,
he's busy.
Back.
It's just weird, especially since he's such a big character who has his own huge series on PlayStation that's getting a new game this year. It's just weird. Made my interest in this game even lower than the almost non-existent interest level that was already there.
Definitely not a day one purchase for me, but I am still on the fence, so I have to see how it does once it comes out and once it's finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, what killed my excitement 100%, I was on the fence about it, and then when they said Miles Morales is coming this year, I'm like, oh, I do not need to play Avengers.
Even better, yeah.
Yeah. But
I'll take it.
Yeah, let's move on from Sony, though. Nintendo, we finally know the next first-party game that's coming from them. It's Pikmin 3 Deluxe, coming out on October 30th for $60 on the Switch. And this edition has all of the DLC from the original Pikmin 3. It has a
new
added
content.
Co-op mode through the entire campaign. Yeah, there is some new content also featuring Olimar and Louie from Pikmin 1 and 2 that kind of fills in the story gaps. I don't know the story of Pikmin. I know the first one you crash land on a planet.
So I don't know the story.
Yeah, but they're really souping this one up, and I think it's pretty exciting. One of the last great Wii U exclusives come to Switch. Kevin, your take on Pikmin 3 Deluxe.
So preface this, I've not played a Pikmin game before. So take that for what you will, but I'm very glad that they have decided to add in a bunch of content, because it's very hit or miss with these Wii U re-releases as to how much Nintendo is willing to put forward and how much that factors into the price tag. Man, we go back to Tropical Freeze all the time, but that was so stupid that game was $60 with Funky Kong mode, which is basically nothing, just an easy mode, when the game originally launched for $50. Here, this makes more sense when you're adding in not only all of the DLC from the base game, but also the difficulty modes, the new missions. That's a fair amount of extra content to get for $60. I don't have a real problem with the $60 price tag for the extra content that they're adding. The removal of Pikmin 3 from the Wii U eShop is very bizarre to me.
Yeah.
But in terms of the Switch version just by itself, the $60 does not rub me the wrong way like some of these other ports have.
It's weird that they're locking it off from Wii U users and trying to boost the sales on
and
the Switch
now,
version.
Like, who cares?
Like exactly.
The install base of the Wii U is so small. Like, who cares?
But those couple people who are like, oh, maybe I could get this on Wii U now that it's gone. They can't do it.
It's just a weird move. I don't know why they had to do that.
I think they did it with Tropical Freeze also. It's weird. It's really weird because, yeah, if you want people, it's $20 on Wii U. If you really want people to go to the Switch version, sure. But One, you've had 7 years to go get that thing on Wii U.
Yeah, the people who bought it on Wii U, or the people that mm-hmm. wanted it on Wii U have already bought it.
No new Switch consumer is going to go buy a Wii U and Pikmin 3 to get it at a cheaper cost. It's still accessible physically, so it's really weird. It's kind of just like one last middle finger to the Wii U owners of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's new content in this version, which should make it more appealing to just go with this version, and it's on the go.
Yeah.
Just don't understand the decision to do that. If they left it on the Wii U, I'm sure they wouldn't. The amount of sales that they would have lost on Pikmin 3 on Switch would be negligible, if any.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Weird.
I'm curious to see how this game controls, because the Pikmin series has had three completely different forms of control throughout the years. It had the GameCube mm-hmm. control, and then the 1 and 2 got put on Wii with the new motion control, and then 3 had
the gamepad
where you can tap and flick the guys, and all three of those are kind of possible on Switch with the Joy-Cons as Wii Remote Nunchuck, the Pro Controller as the GameCube controller, and in handheld mode as the Wii U gamepad mode. So I'm curious to see if all three of those are going to be supported, because I heard different people like all three for different reasons. It's not like there's a definitive best, so that'll be interesting. And
yeah,
I also wish it was the trilogy. I really wish it was 1, 2, and 3.
We've
I might try it out.
Like, we waited so long for anything on Pikmin from when Pikmin 3 came out that it does seem kind of weird that it's Pikmin 3.
Hey, Pikmin came out.
Yeah.
It was terrible what it did.
I feel like no one should be reminded that that game exists.
Yeah, and then there was that Miyamoto saying, oh, Pikmin 4 is, like, done. It's cooked and ready.
Like, what was that?
Was that Hey Pikmin?
What was he even talking about?
We don't know.
Was that Hey Pikmin? Was that Pikmin 3 Deluxe, and that's been done for forever?
Yeah. Like,
were they waiting for the right time to release it? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would get more people into the series if they do have Pikmin 4 in the pipeline, if they released all three games ahead mm-hmm. of Pikmin 4. It's the same thing with hopefully what they're going to do with Metroid, where you've got the trilogy, put the trilogy on there, and then get Prime 4 out between 6 months and a year after mm-hmm. that comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, for fans of Pikmin that have been waiting for anything over the last number of years, this is something.
Yeah, I don't know if this is sad or exactly what this is, but I think the reality is it's not going to sell any worse. It's just Pikmin 3 than the Pikmin trilogy would. I really don't think so. I think it's still going to sell really well. Everything Nintendo puts on Switch just sells like crazy. Clubhouse Games sold over 1 million copies. We got those numbers in this week. So the Switch is just a magical place for games right now. But last thing I want to... Oh, go ahead, Kev.
I wonder how many people paid full price for Pikmin 3 when it came out. Because, man, I feel like a lot of people got it with that, like... What was
Deluxe
it?
Deluxe Digital
Mario
Promotion.
Mario Kart 8, you get... Yeah.
That's how I got it.
I feel like a lot of people picked Pikmin 3 because of the games that were there. It seemed like Pikmin 3 would be the one most likely that people wouldn't have. So I just wonder how many people actually paid for it.
Yeah, it was... I don't remember all the options, but I remember I had all of them except for Pikmin 3 and Wii Party U, and I was not picking Wii Party U. So yeah, it was definitely a hot pick for that. So that is how I have Pikmin. I have two more thoughts on this. One... The worst part about it being removed from the Wii U eShop is that the DLC is no longer downloadable on Wii U. You can no longer buy the DLC there. And that's stupid. Yeah, that's really lame. And then last thing is that Pikmin 3 is like way chiller and easier than Pikmin 1. I've heard Pikmin 1's really stressful with the time management and it's like really hardcore. And 3 seems like a more chill way almost to introduce people to the series. So I'm excited to see how many people pick it up. I'm probably going to pick it up. I'm a sucker. Zach, how about you?
Is 3 a good hopping in point for
I
the
think
series? Because
so. Yeah.
I have also not played 1 or 2.
I think 3 is a good hopping in point.
Then actually, yeah, I might pick it up. Because I know almost nothing about the Pikmin series other than playing Olimar and Smash, which has never worked out well for me.
Me neither. Kev, how about you?
No.
Not a day one purchase for me, but there's a lot of stuff coming out around that time that'll be taking my attention. Mm-hmm. So I... wouldn't expect to pick it up around launch, but it's definitely one that I could see 6 months to a year after it comes out that I'd pick it up when I wanted something else to play.
Yeah. And it's coming out October, which tells us, hey, this isn't the big game for fall because Nintendo won't not release something in November. They will release something before Black Friday. It just will happen. So
hopefully.
Clubhouse Games 2.
If there wasn't another game this year, Pikmin wouldn't be coming until November. I am confident in that. I'd bet someone that right now, that they have something else planned for November. But just a relief to know that something's coming. That even though it is just another Wii U port, this is one people have been wanting a long time. Now, 3D World and Xenoblade Chronicles X, I think, are the big two still left back on the Wii U. So hopefully we get some of those soon also. But let's move on. Let's rip through the rest of this news real quick. Smash Update got a new stage, Small Battlefield. It removes the top of the platforms from Battlefield.
Big change.
I thought it was fake because this was before Pikmin 3. Nintendo had been silent for a while. And then I just see that drop randomly at night. And I'm like, what is that? But it's real. So that's there now. New Horizons reaches 22 million sales. It's been out for less than 5 months. That's freaking insane.
And that is already coming up near Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which I believe is around 26 million.
Yeah, that was
ridiculous.
Just...
ridiculous.
During the start of the pandemic and the quarantine, that was just the
crazy
cultural zeitgeist and just insane sale. It was going to sell well regardless, but without that crazy timing, I don't think we'd be nearly close to these numbers. Yeah,
Sword and Shield also at 18 million.
Boo!
Ridiculous.
New Horizons is worthy of the sales. Great game. Sword and Shield is not.
No.
It is absolutely not. And then, yeah, that's the same report that said Clubhouse Games sold a million. New Horizons in 5 months has sold more than the entire Metroid series combined ever.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
achievement.
Yeah, so that's kind of disgusting.
The other little news bit there is that Xenoblade Definitive Edition has sold about 1.3 million units, which is about the same as Xenoblade Chronicles 2 did. So,
okay, yeah, pretty good.
Expected numbers there.
If anything hits a million, that's a solid release. Astral Chain was around a million, so these games get into that figure, I think, are pretty good. No More Heroes, Switch port rated in Taiwan. Looks like it's happening. We've heard rumblings it's happening. Zach and I just played it this year. I just want to know about three. That's not coming out this year.
I know, we haven't heard anything in a while. It's definitely not coming out this year like it was promised to. Unfortunately, but I know it is coming out because I definitely saw a trailer. It wasn't a fever dream, although it seemed like it, because it was a bit of a weird trailer that seemingly didn't have a lot to do with the first two games. But we did play the first two games this year. I'll play them again on Switch. I don't even care. I am very excited. I love this series. It's a good time. Minus Travis Strikes, or what was the
Travis Strikes Again? Yeah, that game sucks.
Yeah, ooh, that one was rough. But always looking forward to more.
It's just this is just the first game, right?
Yeah, that's all it was rated. Yeah,
Is
the second one harder to come by?
Yes.
So
that
hopefully, if this is real, that we're getting it, that two also is rolling out as well.
Yeah,
it would make sense because if this is an attempt to get people to buy three, you would think that they would also put two on Switch. However, that being said, it did take me a little while to find a good deal for two, and I still ended up paying more than I wanted. So if it doesn't come out on the Switch, then hey, I still paid a decent amount of it for it on the Wii.
Yeah, I don't think I'll play them again just because of that grind in the first game. Like, it's still very fresh what happens in those games. I'm just excited for three.
If they are straight ports, hopefully they fix some of those little irritating things. You never know.
Fix the glitch of getting a lot of money or whatever?
No, that was not a glitch. That was a strategy, and it was awesome.
That was a feature.
That was a strategy.
That was optimization at its best.
Yeah. Pizza Butt. The Pizza Butt CEO, and then the motorcycle launching game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which took us a little while to work out the kinks, but once we got it, we were killing it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then last two things here. I don't think there's much to discuss here. It's just kind of news that news is coming. Cyberpunk is getting a Night City Wire again on Monday, so we'll talk about that on next week's show. And then Rocksteady has teased a Suicide Squad game. We've heard rumors of a Superman game forever from Rocksteady. But August 22nd, as part of DC Fandom, they're going to talk about the hashtag Suicide Squad game, which they tweeted about, which was Superman or Bizarro. People aren't sure which it is, with a big Suicide Squad target on his head. So we'll talk about that in a couple weeks as well. I know Zach's probably pretty excited because of his love of the Arkham games.
They're amazing, and if this is anything like them, then I know it's going to be great. I also think that the Suicide Squad has a lot of potential. Super cool concept. I know the movie soured a lot of people on it, but I think there's a lot of places that they can go.
Hopefully it's better than the movie was.
Hopefully. I would hope so.
Yeah, Kev, that's it for even us this week.
Even as someone that that doesn't really care for superheroes that much, that movie was not that great.
No, it was not.
All right, so besides Fall Guys, which we talked about earlier, has there been anything else that you guys have been up to over the past week?
Yeah, a couple small things other than the good amount of Fall Guys that I've been trying to play since it came out. Logan and I did beat the new monster in Iceborne yesterday. They released the Frostfang Barriath, which was a variant of a monster that came out with Iceborne. That was super cool. The fight was nowhere near as difficult as the monster before him.
Yeah.
It took almost, it took like 20 minutes to beat
him.
One
try, no deaths.
Nothing to prepare. One try, no deaths. Easy peasy. So that was nice. We did that. And then earlier, I booted up Final Fantasy X again after, three months since nice. I played it. I played it for like 15 minutes, got a trophy, felt accomplished, and then I turned it off.
Is that the one that you got screwed over by like the saves or something?
Yeah.
Nope, that was Assassin's Creed Black Flag. The two that I was playing at the same time.
Wait, you got screwed over by a Black Flag save?
Oh, the checkpoints.
Okay. Is that what,
or oh, do you no, mean, I was talking about
the save data from like you like played a Final Fantasy.
The save
game
data from way back in the PS3 yeah, days. Yeah. That's what screwed me over. Sorry.
Yeah.
I associate this game now with Assassin's Creed Black Flag because I started them both 3 months ago and like played them back and forth, and now they're like melding in my head. It's a weird situation.
Alright.
But that's basically all I played. I just want to play more Fall Guys.
Yeah.
Once the servers go back up.
Hopefully they're up now. Absolutely. I want to play tonight with you guys. I'd like to do that.
Yes.
Let's try if we can.
Yeah. All right, I've been playing more Paper Mario. I got to just a freaking awesome section. Man, it's so good. It's a huge open exploration section with a ton to do. Optional areas to explore with like side quests that you could totally miss. But it's awesome. It's a completely different area of the game than anything like what I've experienced before. And the music is great, and the exploration is cool, and they're doing a lot of things to just keep this game really fresh and exciting. I'm about 18 hours in or so now, so I'm starting to near the end. I have 3 out of the 5 streamers, which are the things that you go and get in this game, and I'm on my way to the 4th. So I'm starting to get there. Hopefully have that done by next week. Just got really distracted by Fall Guys. Because I've been super excited for that one. But yeah, Paper Mario is still fantastic. And then I also booted up Mario & Luigi Partners in Time this afternoon.
Oh my god.
It's back. I think I need to go back and grind for some more coins. Because I run out of, in this 4-tier boss fight, where if you lose on any tier, it's over. I got about an hour and a half in today and was out of items. I was just totally dry of items. And I think I need to go back, grind some coins to, there's this badge that one bro can equip that makes their items not consumable. So you can just use unlimited items. And I think I need to grind up enough cash to get that. Because then it'll be no problem. But I have not been able to beat it. But I am going to beat it this month, August.
Honestly, at some point a while ago, you should have just restarted it and played it from the beginning. Sadly, everything
taken the same amount of time.
Honestly, maybe would it have?
As the grind,
dude. The how long to beat on this game is nowhere close.
How long is this game?
To how much time I have spent in it? I have spent
exactly.
As a kid, you meander and do all this random nonsense
if
all
you
the
just,
time.
If you just start from the beginning and play it like an adult would, you could easily probably beat this boss fight.
Yeah, I want to beat it on this original file. But yeah, I used to just get rid of baby Mario and Luigi and just run around the castle for no reason. And just like, they were just like on a play date in the castle hanging out. It's like, why did I do that for so long? But guess how long, okay, this game takes 18 hours to beat. Let's each guess how long you guys both guess how long I have played it to this point. And that's not counting all the failures on the boss fight.
36 hours.
Zach? I'll say 29.
49 hours.
No
I spent
way.
50 hours in Partners in Time as a kid. And that doesn't count all the failures on the boss fight. I've probably played that game for 75 hours.
Oh my god.
It's a good
one. I feel that, though. I did that a lot as a kid, too.
I'm
just doing random nonsense. I'm like, how is that that entertaining for that long for me to do that?
Oh,
I don't understand.
Sorry to keep going on, but last week I really wanted to play Mario Tennis Aces. I did it. I played like 5 hours of Mario Tennis Aces last weekend. And the tournament scene is still pretty vibrant, but the skill level, I think all the good players have kind of moved on to other games. I dominated. I mopped up in the Mario Tennis Aces tournaments. It's similar to when I played Black Ops 3 years after it was popular, and I was just really good because no one good was left. And that's how I felt playing Mario Tennis Aces, but it was super fun getting back into it. I had a really good time with that. That game's underrated. That game's really good. I have like 60 hours in it.
Speaking of Black Ops, I almost downloaded Modern Warfare 3 off PS Plus earlier today. I was like, should I get into Call of Duty today? I don't know. But then I saw that it was like a super long download, and I was like, not right now.
Answer is no.
The answer is no.
All right, that's it for me. But no, Aces. Thank you. Good stuff with Aces. Mario Tennis Aces.
Did you play any Ultra Smash?
No, I really want to, though. Dude, I also want to play...
Ever say those words again in regards to Ultra Smash?
I also want to play Mario & Luigi Paper Jam, because it's the only Mario & Luigi game I've never touched. But
you
want to
subject yourself
good.
To that?
Yeah, I've heard it's bad.
Which one's... What's Paper Jam?
It's a Mario & Luigi game with Paper Mario in it. Like he
and it's after Paper Mario Art went to the dumpster, and Mario & Luigi was going in there. And it's not good timing for either of those series, I don't think.
Yeah. I want to see how it is, though. I kind of want to experience it. My sister owns it.
Copy.
I might see if I can borrow it from her.
Yeah. I'd be curious, because I don't know if I want to subject myself to that.
But I feel like I should probably just go back and finish Dream Team, which I never finished, or play Superstar Saga, the remake on 3DS, because I've never finished that game either. I never got that into Superstar Saga, and I've heard it's really fantastic.
I still only played Bowser's Inside Story, but I did beat that a while ago.
I also beat that after not beating it for like 7 years. Not nearly as long of a journey.
I don't know what's up with these games, but we just can't. It
was the final boss there, too. I was stuck at the final boss for years. And then I finally just did it.
Oh, wait. My level needs to be higher.
No, that was just like... I ended up doing it really underleveled because I just got really good at blocking all his attacks. I was really underleveled.
Oh my god.
How about you, Kev?
As for me, just more Bug Fables. I thought I was in the last chapter. I was not, but now I'm on the last chapter. It was chapter 6.
As far as you know.
Chapter 7. No, I'm just stupid. The game tells you in like the records thing, it's like, oh, you know, you get achievements. And like, oh, beat chapter 1, 2, and it stops after 7. So 7 is the last thing. Obviously, you can go and do quests and whatnot after you've beaten the final boss. But in terms of main story content... I am on the last chapter, and it's still really good. I don't have too many more new things to say about it. I kind of want to save, you know, final thoughts and everything until I beat it. Hopefully that'll be next week. Depends on how much time I spend playing Fall Guys, but just really liking it. I've been delving into a lot of the side quests. I appreciate that each main character has their own large side quest to do. And it really fleshes out their character, Leaf, most specifically, because his backstory is the most mysterious and interesting. His extra side quest content was really interesting, and I'm surprised it wasn't part of the main story. It was that compelling. So they give you a lot of reason to go and do a lot of this the side quest and side content. It's a really good time. Hopefully I'll have it done by next week's show. It depends on how brutal the final boss is, because some of these bosses can be pretty zesty. I just got to roll. I've learned how to make all of the really good healing items, so I'll just roll in with a full stack of those and just go to town on them and hopefully beat them. But it's still a really good time. I like it a lot, and I'm looking forward to when Logan plays it sometime in the future. It's like, hear your thoughts on it.
Like, we have to swap games. Because I'm excited for you to play Origami King. So,
We'll get to it. I got to beat Bug Fables first. Saying that, I'll finish it. I'll finish it. All right, we've been going on long enough. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Yeah,
go first.
Okay.
Zach, go first. No. Hit it up.
Oh God. Okay.
You're always going last. So.
I just want to say that I don't think the PS5 is coming out this year.
Man, doom and gloom over here.
Devastation.
Hopefully next year. Hopefully.
It is really weird that they have not done anything about it recently and have not shown anything in regards to a release date and price. I'm still expecting it to come out this year, but as we go on more and more, it's getting more and more likely that it could be pushed.
I think it's coming this year. I still do. But speaking of something I'm not sure if it's coming this year, I have some concerns about Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Because it comes out in less than 3 weeks.
It's coming out, right? Like really, really soon.
But on Amazon, it still doesn't have box art to pre-order it. Like,
what?
Yeah. I'm just a little concerned, just given the history of this game, that it's not going to be coming out. Yeah, look up Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles on Amazon and see what's there. Because I looked it up earlier tonight because I was thinking about that game. And I was like, it was like box art coming soon and it has the Amazon logo on it.
Yeah, and you have to scroll down to get it because the first couple of items are three different versions of the GameCube version, the DS and Wii, and two Wii games, and then Crystal Chronicles.
It doesn't exist on GameStop's site. It looks like it only exists on Square Enix's site.
Is this like a special physical edition or something?
Maybe. I assumed it would be physical.
Sometimes they do that.
But
I don't know. Like,
yeah, maybe it's not.
That.
Yeah.
Where it's retailer exclusive to Square Enix's store?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just a little concerned about it. Because we're getting there. Yeah.
We'll see in the next few weeks how that story progresses.
Yeah, but that's my final thought. And bonus final thought, I want Sports Story so bad. Every day I wake up hoping it's shadow dropped because I feel like it's going to be shadow dropped on a random day and it's still not here and summer's almost over.
Yeah. At this point, it really feels like it's going to be a, hey, it's out today sort of thing if they're going to be announcing it on one of these
mini directs, right?
Mini directs, mini direct partner showcase, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be on one of them.
Instead of WrestleMania or whatever, you get
that
Sports Story.
Little baby wrestlers.
But that is going to do it for us on this week's episode of Ode to Games. We're here on Fridays on our website, odetogames.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, other podcast streaming services that you may use. You can find us on Twitter at Ode to Games. You can send an email to odetogamescast@gmail.com. For Logan and Zach, I'm Kevin. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.